Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime.
Greetings and welcome to CAG. About your dog and you, sponsored by Capital Area Guide Dog Users, Inc. And the show is about, we ask the question, what is a guide dog? Where do you get a guide dog from? Why do you get a guide dog? When you get a guide dog? And how you get a guide dog? And our special guest is going to answer some of those questions, as well as share with you how having a guide dog impact her life daily living. So again, welcome to CAG Do About Your Dog and You. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and sitting at microphone number two is the hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. How are you doing today, Miss Renee?
Reverend Ray, I have been watching the Paralympics on television. They are amazing. You really get an opportunity to see Paralympians breaking barriers. It's fantastic.
The American Council of the Blind, when they held a convention last month, we had a representative from the Paralympics to come on and talk about some of the things that they're doing. And I'm telling you, just fascinating. I know as a person that's blind, I've seen some of the people that blind people run, and I tell you, you would think somebody chasing them because they stole something as fast as they run. But it is amazing how the Paralympics have come into. I think when it started out, several decades ago, I mean, they had something like, 25, 55 people or something that participated. But certainly has grown, and I know the Kennedy family, one of the gentries, as well as probably one of the royal families of the United States, had a lot to do with that. But anyway, we salute those who participating in it, and even some of the negative things that happened with one of our Marylanders, Baltimoreans, that was participating in and our ACB here again organization. The president, the executive director, Mr. Eric Bridges, who we had on this show here, has a guide dog. They're in the conversation with that Olympus organization, and things will be different next time around. So anyway, I won't get on the soapbox about that.
Yeah, well, they actually had one assistant for 34 swimmers, and her name is Becca Myers, and she is both blind and deaf. So her mother had been her PCA, her personal care attendant, and their explanation was that they had to limit the number of people. But can you imagine one assistant for 34 blind swimmers? I mean, it's a little bit,
Ms. Renee, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that when I have one person trying to take care of me and they keep complaining about it's too much work. Okay, that's another thing. We won't get into that. So
let me just insert this, since this is CAG Do, your dog, about your dog and you. Becca Myers, who was the swimmer, the deaf-blind swimmer who chose to withdraw, has a guide dog, and it's from the Seeing Eye Guide Dog School, and her name is Birdie.
Oh, well, we will have her as a guest on the show. We will definitely get in touch with her and have her as a guest on the show. Oh, thank you for Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for that crackerjack research from our research team. So, Ms. Renee, would you be kind enough now, after all this levity, to introduce our, tell me the rundown for our show today?
Well, we always begin with Stop Dogging Us Around, the good, the bad, and the ugly of using a dog guide. And our guest What, do you remember when going to camp meant bonfires and s'mores? Well, our guest, Cindy LeBond, is going to Space Camp, the final frontier, going boldly where no man or blind woman has gone before. And in our second half, we'll take a look into Charlie's Corner. Back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All righty, boldly going into no place. All righty, we're going to check that boldly out. All right, so you know we like to start the show with Stop Dogging Me Around, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Using a Dog Guide. And what I want to give you a tip, because we live here in the DMV, that's the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia, and goodness, it has been hot. So one of the tips I want to give you is this. Now, it's so hot out there. The way you know that your dog should not be walking on that cement, take your hand and put it on the cement. And if that cement is too hot for your hand, all right, then you need to have your dog, if you have to have it out, walking on the grass. Now, I know some people want to say all this stuff in the grass, the ticks and all that, but if you're keeping your dog clean the way you should be and checking it, then you'll get the ticks and stuff off it. But, you know, but walking on grass. Now, some people say, what about the booties? Now, and the guide dog schools do give you the booties to wear, but some people feel this way about the way dogs perspire is between the glands in their mouth and the glands in their feet. So if you have on those rubber boots for the booties for the dogs, they'll feel that the dog's getting overheated. So that's a controversy we'll have to deal with some trainers and all. But so it's up to you how you, you know, whatever information you find out. But please, if that hot outside, do not expose your dog to messing his pads up or his feet up or in that hot, on that hot concrete or cement, because these dogs are so vital, as you will hear from our guest that's coming up to us, that they are not pets, okay? We always say they pet-ish, but they are not pets, okay? They are hot, they are our eyes, and a lot of times, like what the dog show, do you want to use your lifeline? Well, we use our lifeline all the time with our leashes attached to these dogs. So anyway, so that is the good, the bad, and the ugly of having a guide dog. Back over to you, Miss Renee.
Well, our guest, Cindy LeBond, is going to space camp. It is the final frontier.
You need to speak up a little more, Ms. Renee. Get in your mic.
Okay. We have a little technical difficulties here. We've got some weather conditions going on outside. Our guest, Cindy LeBond, is going to space camp, the final frontier. And she is going boldly where no man or blind woman has gone before. So welcome, Cindy.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, Renee. Hello, Reverend Ray.
Hello.
How are you all today?
Thank you. All right. Thank you for being our very special guest. And we want to get to this excitement of what you are doing as a blind person. You must be some kind of daredevil. I thought Evel Knievel had left here. But, okay, we'll see about LeBond here. So, but, Cindy, people like to get to know the person behind the titles and all what they're doing. So would you share with us a little bit where you from and a little bit about your growing up, please?
Okay, well, let's see. Oh, gosh, I'm going to go all the way back there. Holy cow. Okay, well, I am from Indiana. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. I was born totally blind. However, within a year, I got my vision back thanks to 9 surgeries. And
wow.
My parents had to drag me out to California, and I was, then they went back home and left me. So I was out there for like 11 months and living on my own. Well, I was in the hospital, but anyway, I had surgeries and they were successful. I got a lot of vision back. I mean, they weren't really sure what, because back in the day, they couldn't really tell like they can now. And when you're little, they are waiting for your eyes to focus and do that. And one day I was home. I was probably almost two, and they realized I was watching a fly on the window. And that's how they knew things were getting better. So it continued. My vision was quite good. I did attend the Indiana School for the Blind until I was in the eighth grade. Then I moved to here to the Maryland and continued my education. I went to regular school. They felt at that time I probably could, even though I went to the blind school. They used to integrate us a lot with the local public school. If you were in junior high, which is what I would have been in at the public school, we would go there like every week for a class or two. And it was, and, you know, in my Girl Scout troop, we participated with the Girl Scout troops from the public school. So we were always integrated. We just weren't kids at the blind school. Came here, went on to college, did what I did, and worked for 26 years for a Labor International. I did know Braille. I knew all the skills, which is why my mother wanted me to attend a blind school, so I would earn my independence, get all the skills I needed. Now, this, of course, is always before JAWS, before Zoom Text, before all of that. And then in the 90s, you know, ADA passed, and my employer came to me and said, hey, you're as close as we have to being blind. Would you like to learn JAWS, Zoom Text? They didn't have Fusion yet. And so that we have 800,000 members, and plus other office employees. If you learn, if we need to make sure we're, you know, that we have accessible formats. So, of course, me being me said, yeah, how much more are you going to pay me? And, you know, it is about money. So I did it. I did my own job, and then 2 days a week I would sit in the computer room and test, you know, test stuff. I had to learn JAWS. They gave me 3 days. Huh. And so, so they didn't want to go through rehab because they said it takes too long. We don't have time for assessment. This is good enough. So we hired Glenn Smith. I don't know if you know him or not.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I
do.
Love Glenn.
Okay.
He came to my office and worked with me for 3 days, and then I would call him for help quite a bit. And it worked out perfectly. So at first, the only reason I said I'd do it is because of money. And then I went in, and so they outsourced this. And fortunately, because I had been there 26 years, I was one of the last ones out the door, and including my department, which was the computer area. So when I left, I thought, oh, no, what am I going to do? I'm a fake blonde. I'm 50, you know, and I'm a woman. And I really am considered blind, even though I have some vision. So somehow Glenn got me in touch with Judy Rasmussen, who at that time was not a rehab counselor for the blind. And I love her to death. And she took me out to lunch a couple times. She had me come over at work. I did not use Word or Excel, and sit in her office and mess around on their computers and sort of teach myself. And maybe ask for some help. And, I mean, it worked perfectly. I found a job, but my travel was 2 hours each way. I left.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, I said, well, I had to work. And I did apply for Social Security benefits. Did I want to? No, it's like the most worst feeling of defeat. And you're a loser, and you're this, and you're that, and what am I going to, blah, blah, blah. But I did apply. And I think Judy guided me through. And so I got Social Security, I got a job. While I was there, somebody said to me, oh, you can't work if you have benefits. They're going to take everything away from you. So you know what? I quit because I didn't know. And so as I was leaving, a guy comes up to me and he says, why are you leaving? So he said, no, you don't. I said, well, I'm already out. He said, I know where you can get a job. I want you to call Michael Dalto. He is looking for people to work for Department of Disabilities, for Maryland Department of Disabilities, and they're putting a program together called the Maryland Buy-In Program, that if you work, you don't have to have benefits, You just have to have a determined disability, which you couldn't get. And he said, they're looking for people. So I called Michael. He hired me. I worked for him for almost 5 years. My eyesight, everything was doing well. I mean, it was going well. And he said to me, well, you know, you ought to go into benefits counseling. Yes, sir.
I'm on hold. When I hear that music, Reverend Ray have to go in this parking and pay people like Miss Renee and other staff people and stuff like that. So that tells us that we have to go to a break. So we're going to come right back.
That's commercial time.
We're going to come right back on the other side of the break. This is the Reverend Ray citing or CAGDU about your dog and you, Miss Renee.
Well, you are listening to CAGDU about your dog and you. CAGDU stands for Capital Area Dog Guide Users. We're located in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. But the information we share is for dog guide users everywhere. Back over to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
All righty. Okay, so Cindy, so you were saying Michael hired you and then... Cindy? Hello? Did we lose Cindy?
Well, I hope not.
Cindy?
Cindy, where are you?
Now she didn't think that was the end of the program, did she?
I certainly hope not. Well, she's still on my board.
She's still on your board?
Okay. Yeah, her line is open on the board. Now, she was having some weather conditions in her neighborhood, so perhaps that is what has happened. Well, in the meantime, while we're waiting for all of us to figure out that
Well,
I can't say it over the air. I can't say it over the air.
No.
But are you going to get to a different line?
Is the last four numbers 1435?
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can call her on this. While you're doing that,
I am going to talk a little bit more about the Paralympics. One of the things that I found interesting, I'm familiar with the wheelchair tennis and fencing and basketball, but what was interesting to me were two different sports, and one was rugby. Now, I grew up in the UK where rugby is a rough and tumble sport, and so I could not imagine how they would adapt it for Paralympics. But when I watched it, they are allowed in wheelchairs. They use specially designed wheelchairs, and they can run into each other as hard as they want.
Okay, Miss Renee.
Yes, sir.
I think we have Miss Cindy. Cindy?
I hear her back.
Can you hear me okay?
Okay, yeah, we can hear. Okay, her power went out. All righty. So let's pick up from Mr. Michael Hine.
Okay, I am so sorry. You know, this stuff happens to me all the time.
No problem.
And I haven't even gotten to the good part yet. So what happened was Michael Dalto hired me, and I worked and helped people apply for the Medicaid buy-in program, which means you have to have a job, you have to have a disability, but the key is you have to have a job. If you have Social Security benefits, it will pay your Medicare, that $148.50 a month, gives you full Medicaid at $1, $3 for prescription. But the key is you have to have a job. So you can earn as high as $75,000 a year, have $10,000 in resources. You can
Everything
goes up a little bit more.
Wait a minute, Cindy. Mm-hmm. I just want to say right now, that if $75,000 is the max, Reverend Ray is underpaying me significantly. I just want to let you know.
Yes,
I just want this to go on the record.
But I mean, and that's what they refer to as cannibal income. Sort of like when you do your taxes, you get things that you can take off, like incentives. And where with regular Medicaid, you can only have $2,000 in assets. With this program, you can have $10,000. Plus, you can also have an ABLE account, or $15,000 if you're married, and it doesn't count 401ks, pensions, counts, checking, savings, IRA. That's all they include. But anyway, so I worked for Michael, and about 4 years later, somehow between Michael and Division of Rehab Services, I find myself in Phoenix in a class to become a benefits counselor in the WIPA project, which stands for Work Incentive Planning and Assistance under the Social Security System. So let me tell you one thing. I have done a lot. It was the most difficult training I've ever had. I went March 16th. 8 weeks later, I had finished the class, took assessments, which were so difficult. And why did I do this? Because when I applied for Social Security, I thought, this is so difficult to understand. There was nobody to help me through and plow through the system. That's why I got into this.
So I
finished my training and my assessments the end of April, close to the 30th. I was thrilled to death. I started my own business. I was a benefits counselor. I got clients from Division of Rehab Services and various agencies. I was thrilled to death. Well, guess what? I woke up on May 6th. I couldn't see a darn thing. It was all red.
Oh, wow.
And I went, oh, no. Well, I didn't know anything. I said, oh, my God, what do I do? So I called my nephew. He said, well, call 911. I said, no, I'm not going to the hospital. Because everybody dies there. So I had him drag me down to George Washington University to the eye doctor, and he said, well, you've had a hemorrhage. Well, now, we knew I had had a couple, but they always went away. And I said, I'm getting a guide dog. And he said, well, now, let's see, you might get some back. And then he hesitated. He said, you're not going to get enough back to not be able to use a guide dog, because I had tried in every school. I mean, I was walking the dog. I could see the street signs. I could follow the lights and the arrows. I could read the boards in the restaurant. So, you know, I mean, I didn't even use a cane. So my nephew was sitting there, and he says, well, she's going to go to Guiding Eyes and get a dog. I know a lot of people there, and she does too. And she can get her good support. So, you know, I didn't know what to think. I didn't have time to really grieve. I came home. Now, I went home, and I had a conference at 1 p.m. for benefits counseling. So I came
wow.
home. I made an omelet. And people said, well, how'd you cook? I said, the same way. Maybe I screwed up a little bit, but you just did a little. I just knew I wanted an omelet. And I knew, how else am I going to get it if I don't make it? So I came home. Before I did the training for work, I called, and thank God I knew Jaws. Let me tell you, if you have an opportunity, you take any training for anything you can learn, anything, because you don't know when it's going to, you're going to need it.
Mm.
You know, blindness, there's no, like, mail order thing, like, well, I don't want to buy that. It can just happen. So I called Becky Davidson at Guiding Eyes, and she said, well, Cindy, you have to learn how to use a cane. I said, but I don't want to. She said, well, you still have to learn. I said, oh, you're going to make me? She said, Cindy, we all belong to the International Guide Dog Foundation or Federation, whatever it is. You have to.
Right.
I said, okay. So, but I couldn't do it until I healed, till I recovered. And I'm going to tell you, you want to have a headache? Ooh, I bet that's right up there with a headache that you would get, you know, some of these really, really bad headaches that people get from brain injuries or whatever reason. And so I had to wait like 4 months. But, you know, I worked. I started my first case, and I did not know how to use a cane. I took my umbrella. I had to meet a client from rehab services because we have to meet them. I used my umbrella. I took Metro Access. The guy walked me to the door. I said, where's the elevator? He said, just go to your right. You can hear it. I did. I called the girl, and she met me. I mean, I still had my button phone. I didn't have an iPhone yet, thank God. I went back home, and I said, hey, I can do this. But, you know, that's dangerous. So if you're a person who has low vision, you need to learn mobility or no vision.
Yes.
You know, it is very dangerous. Because if you have some vision and you don't have a cane, people think you're dry. But, you know, when I had the vision I had, Mary Beth Cleveland was my mobility instructor.
Oh, okay.
She's the best.
Yeah.
And she had taken me out with a cane. She had done that. We had, you know, but I never used it. And I really didn't quite need it. But she always, she's very, very cautious about, you know, being, you know, mindful of danger to yourself, and so that other people see that, no, you're not drunk, you can't see well. So, I mean, and I'm telling you, it's true. And so I went on, but I think the reason I didn't have a big grieving session is I was working with a lady, because I had both jobs at this time, Department of Disability and Benefits Counseling. I was just getting started.
Okay.
I was working with a lady who did have the Medicaid buy-in program, and she called to tell me she was going to have to leave. She said, I don't think I can work anymore. I said, what? She said, well, I have to get hospice, and I need Medicaid hospice. And they told me I can't do it until this ends. And that was not the day to mess with me. So I said, yes, you can. She said, well, they said that one Medicaid program has to end before you start with another. I said, yeah, it's true, but not today, because I was not in a good mood. And she said she didn't have long to live. And I said, don't worry about it. We're going to fix this. So I called around, and because I worked for Michael and everybody in Maryland that works with anything to do with any Medicaid program, any work program for people with disabilities,
yes,
he's the man.
Right.
Guess what? She got her hospice in July. She kept her EID until the end of June. She did not. They just transferred it. That was all they did. Will they normally do that? No, probably not. But I was not one to mess with that day. I mean, hell, I was now blind, right? But I thought, you know, I'm okay. I'm healthy. I may not see, but I'm healthy. There's still, I can do whatever I want. She can't.
Right.
She passed away that next winter.
Oh,
we kept in touch the whole time. So in the fall, I applied for my guide dog. No, I didn't. I did, applied, started my mobility in January of 2012. Like today, we had a storm, and I lost my phone. I lost my lights. Well, not that I need the light. Lost that. Well, guess what? It sleeted that my first day of mobility training. And that's my luck. So I went on, and I, Mary Beth and I would go out, and she was wonderful.
Yes,
she was absolutely was comfortable learning. You know, and I said, well, you know, I have to do this because my job, blah, blah, blah. And I was doing this benefits counseling. And I would, you know, so I would go to doors offices. And one of them, I got lost in those halls every single time. It took me, why? I don't know. I would go right and somebody had said, no, you're supposed to go left. Well, come to find out, after I got my dog, it didn't matter which way I went.
Right.
It was the layout.
Right.
So I went on, did the job. I applied for my dog when I started mobility because they came out in May to meet me. And I got my dog October of 12. You know what? I would go to offices once. I never had to have help. She guided me. I would not do this without a dog. She helps me in the grocery store with work. I have no problem. I can go to a doors office, a doctor's office. If they go one time, they never forget.
Yes.
And, you know, it worked out, and people say, well, that's you, not me. I said, that's true. I said, but, you know, instead of buying a 73-inch screen TV, I buy technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're blind,
mm-hmm.
that 73-inch screen TV isn't going to do you a darn bit of good. You know? So, yes, I still work full-time. I was on the rehab council for 6 years. I was president of my state ACB affiliation for 6 years. I was my chapter president for 6 years, and all of this was going on while I was having all these medical issues.
Wow.
Let's stop right there, Cindy.
We have
another ad.
A break coming up.
I hope I don't lose.
No, you just be quiet. Don't do anything. Okay, this is Captain Earl, guide dog, about your dog and you. And we will be back with our very special guest, Cindy LeVon, after this break. Miss Renee.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. If your dog needs it, more than likely, they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And back over to our host, Reverend Radio Ray, for a look into Charlie's Corner.
All righty, Charlie's Corner, Charlie Crawford. We did a Charlie's Corner that we called Charlie C about information from and for the DMV. And we lost our co-host and founder of the show, Charlie Crawford, about a year ago in September 9/11. And since then, we have honored him by keeping a black cover over his microphone. So we're going to, starting next month, we're going to have a guest co-host named Wendy. How you pronounce her last name, Ms. Renee? Sherritt?
Wendy Sherritt.
Yeah, Wendy Sherritt. She's going to be our guest co-host for the next 3 months on the second Friday of the month, and we're going to put for rest right now, rest Charlie's Corner, and we're going to be doing a segment with her called Wendy's Way, and so she's going to be with us for 3 months, and we're going to see how that works, and so this will be the last Charlie's Corner for now, and so we just wanted to let you all know that, and that we do honor Charlie Crawford for being a founder and the first co-host of Guide Dog. I just think about all the things
yes.
that Charlie have done and all. I really, really do. So anyway, stay tuned for that first show with her, with Miss Wendy, will be September Friday the 10th. We'll be with her, so be here. And she is a CNI Guide Dog graduate. So we'll talk more about it to her, and this segment will be called Cindy's Way, Wendy's Way, and that'll be brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, the most effective real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. Now, back over to our guest, Ms. Renee, and would you do another formal introduction, please?
Okay, move over, Captain Kirk. Our guest, Cindy LeVon, is going to Space Camp, the final frontier, going boldly where no man or blind woman has gone before. So, Scotty, warp speed in 3, 2, 1. Back over to you, Reverend Radio Ray.
All right. So, Cindy, you got your guide dog now. Now, let's pick up.
My dog.
Yes.
And what did I do? I went skydiving.
Yeah.
That's what led me into going to space camp. And it was, I went with the ACB convention, and we were in Las Vegas, and thought, well, why not? And they told me the look on her face when I came close to the ground was impeccable. There was a lady holding her leash. She said it was a shock. I will tell you, I felt so free. Can a blind person skydive? Absolutely. Because remember, you're tethered to somebody.
Okay.
They do most of the work. Do I get to play with the parachute string? Yep, sure did. I spun us around in circles. And because, you know, wasn't going to bother me any. And so, I mean, then my dad had been a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne. So I guess those are in my genes, you know. And so, at the, you know, we got talking. And there's a, several of us that go to Ski for Light. And we meet up once a month. And one of the members is Eric at Ski for Light. He lives in Huntsville, Alabama. And he had been to space camp a couple of times. And he used to be blind. But thanks to surgery, he can see. And
is that Paul Bonelli?
No.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's Larry Pavanelli.
I said Larry Pavanelli. That's him.
Oh, I thought you said Paul.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Larry Paul Vanelli. He had a law firm with Paul K. Yeah, I know him. Okay.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
So.
Now, Cindy.
Cindy,
let me just stop you just for a second. Because there are those of us who are grounded. We are never going up in anything except a commercial flight. I'm just telling you. So for those people who I want to explore.
Never say never.
I know. I want to explore that a little bit more. Okay, so tell me, what do you wear? What do they tell you before you go up in the plane?
Okay, when
you know you're
okay,
tethered
when you
to somebody,
skydive, they give you an outfit.
Okay.
And you have to wear sneakers. You can't wear it.
Okay.
Some girl came in her, she was young, came in her heels.
Oh,
no.
They did not let her skydive. Okay. So you sort of wear this one-piece gizmo. You tether to the person who you're jumping with. And gradually they push you out of the plane. As my nephew looked at my video and he said, I saw him push you out. I said, well, Brian, how else was I going to get out? And you are tethered. You train for an hour and a half.
You train.
Wow. Now tell me about the training.
What you do when you train is they teach you that first thing we worked with was how to land. You land with your heels and your toes pointing up and your knees towards your chest. Your heels hit the ground and you barely feel it. You don't want to put your foot out. If you put your foot out, you're going to break an ankle.
Wow.
So as you go out the plane and you sort of slide along this little bar that you're sitting on, and I was the fifth one out, and he sort of put his hand on my back, I guess. I was, like, so excited. I didn't know what to think. And the next thing, we're in the sky, and it's a quick fall, 15,000 feet. And he had a GoPro on his wrist and taking videos of us. And you can't talk because you're going too fast. And all you hear is wind. And I was thinking, stay cool. Don't pee your pants. And keep your mouth shut so teeth don't fall out. Well, they did tell you to keep your mouth shut. Just breathe naturally. So as they're falling, and I thought, what in God's name did I get myself into? But then we hit 9,000, and he tapped me on the shoulder, which meant put your arms out and your hands towards the sky. Then he pulled the string on the chute, and I could hear it open. That's so they have you put your hands out, your arms out, and your hands up, so when they pull the chute, you don't jerk.
Oh, okay.
You know, it just goes, yes. So as we're coming, he was telling me everything we were looking at, and it was very quiet, and you could talk. He let me hold this, the tethers to the, there are three parachutes, in case one doesn't open, I guess. And I think they all opened. I have no clue. I couldn't see. Maybe a little hold it. And then as we come down, he says, okay, we're going to hit the ground in like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 5, 4, 3, 2. And, you know, I did what exactly as he said. Now, this all takes place in 20 minutes. That is, we left, the plane left the ground at 9:11 a.m. I was done by 9:30.
Huh.
Wow.
And I was the fifth one out of the plane.
Wow.
And there were
wow.
eight of us. They didn't think, they thought if they got five people to jump, that was good. They had 35 blind people sign up and pay.
Is that right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
And what did that cost to do that?
You know, I'm gonna be honest. I almost don't really like it. Was two something?
Okay.
I think 200 and something. Because
wow.
you know, you have to pay for the airspace.
Right.
Because you're on a flight in a flight pattern.
Huh.
So while we were
wow.
jumping, they couldn't let planes leave the airport.
Okay.
35
yeah.
blind
so,
people.
So you know, you have to
I
pay.
Wow.
Yes.
So Cindy, after y'all jumped and landed, then y'all did what? And y'all just got in the car and went back to a hotel?
No, so then what we did is I had told my dog, I said, Gardenia, if you let me skydive, she likes water, of course, I will take you on the Colorado kayaking. So I don't know if all of us went, but a lot of us went kayaking down the Colorado River. You know, there between
wow.
Las Vegas, between Nevada and Arizona.
And you had Gardenia.
We were not very far from the.
And you had Gardenia, your guide dog, on the raft?
She was on the boat. She loved it.
On the wow.
It was so much. There were several guide dogs on the kayak, and it was a big one. So there were, I think there were 10 of us on the one I was on. Maybe, I don't know if there were 8 people and 2 dogs or what.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
Wow.
Now, they have federal marshals out there patrolling the river, looking for things that should not be going on. Whose boat do you think they came up to?
Of course.
Are you folks? Because we were laughing and carrying on, and the dogs were barking because they had water splashing on them. They come on and say, are you folks all right? Oh, yeah, come aboard. I think they want to know if there was alcohol involved by our behavior. So, I mean, that was absolutely wonderful.
Wow.
So, anyways, as I go back to, like, a little bit earlier this summer, we were on one of our evening calls, a bunch of us from Ski for Light get on, and we attend since Larry lives in Huntsville. I said, well, then you need to set us up at the Rocket and Research Center for a weekend. So he did. Now, he's been there. Now, a lot of people
wow.
have seen the space camp on TV or their children because they do programs for kids
right.
9 to 18 from the various schools.
Yes.
But several times a year, and this is through the Alabama Blind Deaf and Blind School, set it up, they have blind children come, and they have Braille and large print all over the shuttle and in the lab. And at the admission control, and they will, so that we can do what needs to be done. So they have monitors built into the panels for these astronauts and the mission control, people in mission control. But when the blind kids go, and now us blind adults, they will have a monitor for those who are low vision can see the screen. And it's not a ride. This is serious stuff. It's fun. A friend of mine was down there with Larry, and he crashed the shuttle into the planet, into the Earth.
Oh, God.
Fortunately, it wasn't real.
Huh.
I mean, but it is, you get to do 4 things. First of all, they start working with weightlessness. Like, yeah, I think you have to jump on a trampoline for a while and stuff like that. And
wow.
then you have to spin around the chair. It gives you an intro, which is what astronauts go through for a long time, you know, over and over and over.
Right.
For
right.
a couple of years. Now, the next, there is another session coming up. I already said I'm coming. So what we'll do is we will take turns running the I call it piloting, but I guess, being commander of the shuttle. You get to work in the lab. You get to go outside the shuttle on a tether, I guess, and do repairs. And you get to work in mission control. And everybody gets to do everything.
Wow.
So we're going to get a group of 12. I think we have now 8 or 9. They have to be signed up by mid-September. So, you know, they tell you what clothes to bring. You sleep in bunks, not in the shuttle, but there in the dorm. If you are married, you don't even get to share a room, because if you're in the shuttle and married, you have to, you don't get to sleep together either. You have to be apart.
Okay.
And
that's our,
I'm
that's,
sorry, but
that's okay. That's our music.
We're
going to come right back. We're going to come right back. This is exciting. You are listening to
Tag Do
About Your Dog and You, and our very special guest, Miss Sidley LaVon. LaVon, that boy, that's too adventurous for me. I mean, I thought I live on the edge, but this is exciting. And anyway, we're going to go to a break and come back on the other side of the break. Miss Renee, bump out.
You are listening to CAGDU About Your Dog and You. CAGDU is Capital Area Dog Guide Users, and we're located in the nation's capital. And back over to Daredevil, Cindy LaVon.
Okay, yes, Cindy, so continue. So you say everything.
Now we're at the good part.
Okay, the good part. Oh, Lord. Okay.
Well, I guess what I mean is, you know, you go through all of this Friday afternoon. You don't have to eat food out of a tube.
Okay.
Either they have, you get to eat real food in a real food restaurant at the Rocket and Research Center at the space flight area. So, and you have regular food. Because somebody said, well, do I have to eat out of a tube? And I said, no.
Okay.
Not unless you bring your own.
Okay.
So you sleep in these very small rooms, the bunks. It's like sleep, you know.
Mm.
And then you, so on Sunday afternoon it ends. I'm going, they will pick you up at the airport and return you to the airport.
Wow.
On Sunday afternoon.
So
then
they
have a graduation.
A graduation? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you get,
I guess
this
you get
is,
a certificate.
So, oh, wow. So let me ask you back up. So this is a weekend event? You go in?
It's a weekend. It's a three-day event.
So you fly down on Friday?
You fly on Friday morning.
Okay.
Unless you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take you back to the airport.
Wow.
And everybody in our group is not blind. We have Larry and his wife, Sue.
Mm-hmm.
We have somebody from Massachusetts and her husband, he's sighted. A lady from Michigan, she's sighted. No, she isn't. She's blind. She has a guide dog. And then myself and my coworker wants to go. I just mentioned it. She said, "I'm come. Can I come?" I said, "Yes." And my coworker said,
"Wow."
Now, okay, so since y'all got this little small areas and moving around and stuff, what are you going to do with Miss Gardenia?
Well, now, I don't know if I'm, you know what, I have never left her, ever.
That's
the
what
only time I have left her is when I see, and she stays with somebody, or she stays in my room.
Right.
In my hotel room, but she's exhausted because we've been walking everywhere, is I have to check to see how it is to bring her. But on the other hand, because she is 10 and a half,
okay.
And I have applied for a new dog. When I'm going to get her, I don't know, because Gardenia, we go to the Canine Aquatic Center every 2 weeks, and she can swim for 30 minutes without a life vest still.
Wow.
So she's still strong. But that, you know, any time. So I have decided that if I don't take her, which I could, then she's going to stay with a puppy raiser, her puppy raiser.
Because
so,
you work with puppy raisers, right? Because you work with puppy raisers.
Right, and she's going to work with stay with her own puppy raiser.
Okay.
So,
Now, Cindy, let me back up one moment, because you glossed over something, and somebody probably say.
Oh, I did?
Well, when you just said take Gardenia to Aquatic Center, probably was people probably was like, huh? The dog go place a swim? Tell us about this Aquatic Center for dogs.
Okay. Okay, there are several in Maryland. There are aquatic centers. Now, we go to the Canine Aquatic Center here in Rockville. There's one in Baltimore. It's not Canine Aquatic Center. They have different names. And there's also one over in around Davidsonville. And you take your dog. They swim for 30 minutes. And sometimes you can take another dog with you. Gardenia had her birthday party there with five other dogs. Well, she did. And she
I know, but I'm just saying, people listening like, what is the, I can't believe, so, but I mean, okay, so the quality center, tell me, give us a step-by-step blow. So you signed up, okay.
Yeah, you have to call and make a reservation because they book up. Because some people, they take their dogs there for therapy.
Okay.
And it's like one big enormous pool, but they have dividers and separators for the size of your dog.
Okay.
So if you take a Chihuahua, he's going in the little part.
Gotcha.
You know. So she's in the large part area, big area.
Okay.
And she will get in the water. And when my dog loves water. So she'll take, if I just take a little break when I walk, I can't. I have to hold that harness tight. Because I let go last week, and I just had the edge of her leash on my finger. Well, they opened the door and to go into the pool, and guess what? She went in, harness and all.
Well, they
have a ramp for the dogs to walk out.
Okay.
And, yeah, so, and they, you know, they watch them really well. They play ball. They play, throw a fish around. And we went with another dog a couple weeks ago, and Gardenia kept stealing the other dog's toy. And they have coaches that get in the water with them, and they'll race with them to swim. And
the handlers, like you said,
Get in.
Right? Yeah, they don't get.
No,
okay,
I don't get in.
Okay. Okay. And
if you want a job.
Cindy, what does this cost, and how long, you say, a period that the dog can stay?
They now at this place at the Canine Aquatic Center,
mm-hmm.
it's 30 minutes of swim,
mm-hmm.
and on Wednesdays, Wet and Wild Wednesday, Wet and Wild Wednesday, it's like, I think, 35. Now, I bought, and if you have a guide dog, you do get a break.
Okay.
They give you a little bit off. Okay. And Gardenia, for Christmas last year, she got 10 swims as a subscription from my nephew or her uncle. She got a Christmas. She ends up better than I do. Anyway, so we get 10 swims, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure what it did cost.
Wow.
If you buy a subscription for so many swims, it doesn't cost as much as if, say, I called today and can I come tomorrow? You know, it wouldn't be as costly, you know,
right.
It would cost a little bit more. So they have a, and she loves it. And it's very good for her.
Right.
You know, the vet said she's in excellent shape, and you can tell you take her to the pool. Now, you know, there are two beaches along the bay.
Right.
The Quiet Waters and
yeah.
then a one in Pasadena that Gardenia's friend had a birthday party there. And we went, and you can't go in that water. You don't want to go in that water.
Right.
And they have it all fenced off for the dogs. And then they have a rock climb for the dogs.
Hmm.
And then the dogs don't get in fights because they're not on their territory. They're just there to have fun.
Right. Wow. That is,
you know?
Yeah, that's interesting about the Quality Center. We're going to have someone, make a note of that, Ms. Ritter. We're going to have someone from there to come on the show and talk about that.
I can give you the information.
Okay.
To have Dominique
yeah.
can talk to you about, you know, it's.
Yeah, please.
It is.
Yeah,
I'll
please,
give, in fact,
yeah.
I'll even, I've got to take Deanie to the pool so I can tell her.
Okay.
That you're going to call her or
okay,
call,
yeah.
however you want to do it.
Yeah, email
but
us the information.
Think,
yeah. And we would definitely.
But I will say, since I've had my dog, it has made my job, and being a total blind person now, much easier. Because, you know, I've traveled for work on planes to go to hotels, and I go to the hotel last year in Columbus, and the guy behind the desk says, do you want me to show you a room? I said, no, you see her? That's why. That's her job. She'll find it. We'll figure it out. Because when you get off the hotel on a floor, everybody goes the wrong way the first time unless you're lucky, even if you can see. And once they get to that room,
yeah,
they know. And, I mean, so she knows BWI Airport. She knows Southwest with Ira. And so I don't need date guides anymore.
Now, Cindy, you say, in 2013 or 2012, you got your first guide dog?
I got my first guide dog, and, you know, we had Hurricane Sandy.
Oh,
okay,
God.
I was at school, and we had no power for days and days. And I remember that Seeing Eye, Guide Dog Foundation, Guiding Eyes, all of the guide dogs that were under the hurricane having issues, Fidelco, they were all in communication the whole time of how are you going to work with your students, you know, how are you going to work with your dogs so you have no pet and the kennel, you know what I mean? They were, I mean, it was just like with the pandemic where they helped each other with all of their dogs that they had in the kennel. You know, people were taking multiple dogs whether you went to this, you worked at this school or that school. They all worked together,
wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yes, I was there for the hurricane. I was in the hurricane class. And so it was quite interesting. We had no power. We used a generator. But, things like that happened to me all the time.
What number dog is this now for you, Miss Gardenia?
I'm on my first. Gardenia's number one.
Oh,
and
she's
I'm
your
gonna
first
get number
dog.
Two.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm going to. And what they told me when I went to school, they said, are you sure you've never had a dog? I said, look. All my friends have dogs.
Okay.
So I've learned so much from all my friends.
Okay.
Now, when I left, they, you know.
Okay. So that's the music we're going to close. This has been very exciting, Cindy. I'm sure we're going to have you back again. But this is what I want to ask, and I'm sure a number of people are going to ask this because you mentioned – they're going to email me this because you mentioned about you already put in for another dog. So what – then different schools have different policies. What are you going to do with Miss Gardenia? Because even though she might not work as a guide dog, she might live another three,
nope,
four,
she's
5 years.
She's going to do what she's doing right now, lay on the sofa, watch TV.
So you are going to keep her with your other dog?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Great.
I'm keeping. She's going to stay here, right here.
Okay.
And with our two cats. And
oh, we didn't even talk about how cat and how y'all got that menagerie over there. Well, we are going to have you back again, Cindy. And Special, when do you go to camp? When do you go to the space camp?
We go to space camp October the 1st. We come back on the 3rd. And I'm really, you know, they tell you exactly what to bring as far as clothing. And you can buy a space suit to wear.
A space suit?
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I'm going to wear it on Halloween.
Well, when you come back, we are definitely going to have you. We're probably going to have you. We're going to look at the Fourth Friday. We're going to look at the Fourth Friday in October and have you.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I can't wait. And I think, you know, the people I'm going with are a lot of fun. And, you know, I mean,
I know Bonnie and Bob. They probably the ski group, right? Bonnie and Bob.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know them. They've been trying to get me to ski for years. And I said, what's up? But anyway, that's a whole other story. Miss Renee might get upset about that because I promised her to go skiing with her because she's an avid skier. But anyway, we are at the end. And Cindy, thank you so much. The three things that
welcome.
The three things we try to do on this show is, one, be informative, inspirational, and entertaining, and I think you have helped us do all three. Thank you so much to you.
Well, I don't think I would have done a lot of what I've done if I hadn't gone blind.
Oh, well, I do understand that sentiment, too. So thank you, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
You're welcome,
all right.
Your heart.
Thank you. God bless.
Thanks, Renee. Bye, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Miss Renee, that was very interesting. I mean, just the things that you learn, even though you're around people all the time in a working capacity or social capacity, you just be so surprised of, you know, what people do and where they're from and that was very interesting about what Cindy doing with no blind woman, Bowley, has gone before. So we're going to look forward to having her back in October with her Halloween suit of the space cadet. That is really funny.
Absolutely.
So any closing remarks, Ms. Renee, before I do my thing?
When I grow up, I want to be like Cindy LeBond.
Okay. Well, really, really thank
That's
her.
It.
So my time is, so you've been listening to CAG Do About Your Dog and You. And as we say, our next show on September the 10th, we're going to be having our special guest co-host, Miss Wendy, and we'll go from there. So anyway, this is Reverend Ray. I'd like to say, our time is up. Thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray. You know what we always say. Hug your honey, but pet your pooch. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to CAG Do About Your Dog and You. Capital Area Dog Guide News is located in the nation's capital. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Have a question or a show idea? Give us a call. You can contact us in all the usual ways. Our email is cagdu2020@gmail.com. That's C-A-G-D as in David, U2020@gmail.com. Or give us a call at 301-263-7371. See you here next Friday to hear more about CAG Do, Your Dog and You.